Okay, this is December 17th, Monday. Joy, happiness, gratitude, and...
love.
Love. Dell Snyder.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is December, and this is going to be our last class here at Rhoda's for December, because next Monday is Christmas Eve, and the next Monday is New Year's Eve, so we won't be meeting for 2 weeks. We'll have 2 weeks off. I don't know how you'll stand it without me, but we'll figure that one out. So anyway, since this is the last in December, this class this evening, the next time I see you will be the new year, right? Or it'll be the 28th, which wasn't the new year. Well, whatever. It's going to be the last class in December, I'm sure. Unless the 28th comes up on a Monday.
I think it's Tuesday.
Is it Tuesday?
Yes.
Well, it doesn't matter. What we're going to do here is get prepared for that new year. And this class, Prosperity and Abundance Including Money, has been going on, I guess, for 3 or 4 years now. So since this is December and you're getting ready to enter a new year, 2008, let's go back a moment and remember that there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. And that's what this class is all about, teaching you how to go through life differently, teaching you not to get upset and start going down on yourself because you had an accident, because something happened to you. That is not the way we want to go through life. So, what I'm trying to do here and say is, if your life last year was not what you wanted it to be, why don't you say in 08, my life is going to be what I want it to be, and start applying all these principles to your life. And the one principle that we have to remember, the one idea of this whole class is based on, that this is a mental world. That we are doing this whole experience with our mind. And we have to keep being reminded of that. We have to learn to become witnesses to our own thinking and to be able to change that and to be able to notice what we are thinking. And if we don't like what we're thinking, change it. So I will give you some examples. I'll give you one that I had an experience last night. I was in my shower, and I looked down, and a piece of towel in the shower looked like it was broken. My mind immediately said, oh, it's near the faucet, of course it's broken. They tightened that too much, and they just didn't bother come back and fix that. That's my mind, right? So it's telling me. It fills in a story immediately. And it's always going to fill in, when you use your ego mind, it's going to fill in a negative story. So I looked at that again, and I noticed, oh, that's a line in the towel itself. There's nothing wrong with that towel whatsoever. With the way the light was hitting it, it looked like it was cracked. The towel wasn't cracked, you see. So then I witnessed what I was thinking, and I changed my thinking about it. And I said, oh, isn't that, that's great. Beautiful piece of towel. Now, if we don't change our thinking, you see, I would have been under the impression and lived with that idea that that was a broken piece of towel. And it was not. It's done with your thinking. It's done with your perception. All your life is going to be that way. John had an accident this evening. We cannot go back and correct that, you see. You can't do that. But you can correct how you're thinking about it now. First of all, you can love that and bless it and release it. Then you have to love, bless, and release the person that hit you, you see. Now you return to your own thinking and your own mind, and you sit and you start to love yourself. And not punish yourself by saying, your mind saying, oh, you were stupid. Oh, I don't have the money to pay for this. Oh, at this time of the year. Oh, my whole holidays are going to be ruined because of this accident. Now I can't afford to go home. Now I can't afford to do this, that, and the other thing. You see? That's just your mind. That's just your mind thinking those thoughts. So if you're able to look at that and say, yes, this happened, but I know how to fix it, and I know that it will get fixed, and I'll have the money to do it, and something marvelous will happen, You had it with your car. Something marvelous happened. You have to think of what marvelous things are going to happen. But you see, the mind immediately starts to think of all the bad things that are going to happen. I can't get, I don't have the money. How did this happen? How stupid I was. Yada, yada, yada. If you stay in that frame of mind and you're using that mental power, you are going to draw that situation to you. And that is going to be your reality. But if you change it and you're able to forgive yourself for it, know that the car can be fixed, that there is money there to fix it, that it's not going to ruin your holidays at all, now that's going to be your reality. So it's absolutely a mental world that we live in. And we're causing everything with our thinking. We cause everything with our thinking. If I call somebody and they're not home, especially when it's across the country, my mind immediately wants to say, now where are they? They're never home. How about... Instead of saying, oh, they don't have to be home to get my telephone call. They have a life of their own. Let them do that. Instead of, how many people get angry because they can't find somebody on the telephone? Like that person's supposed to be sitting there just waiting for you to call them. We do this to our own selves. It's done with our minds, with our thinking. So, race mind is out there. And it's going to tell you, oh, you have a right to be upset. You see. You don't have a right to be upset. You're choosing to be upset. Not only do you live in a mental world, but your whole life boils down to what choices are you making? What are you thinking about life itself? You see. And then you can change that. And yes, it's difficult sometimes because you're used to the old way of thinking and your mind cannot make sense of it. Oh, they hit me. They smashed in the car door. They did this to me, that to me. How can that ever be made right? Well, it can only be made right by loving it, blessing it, and releasing it, and going on with your life, and not make it a big deal. Now, it seems like a big deal, usually, because it requires a lot of money to get it fixed. But you see, it's the money and the idea of money that's causing that. So you have to change your thinking about money. And how do we change our thinking about money? By knowing that it's always freely circulating in our lives and that we always have a divine surplus. You have to know that the money, if the accident happened, the money has to come to be able to repair that. And then you forgive yourself. But if you're doing that the same way, looking at that piece of towel in my bathtub and having that whole scenario running in my head was a complete waste of time. And it kept me from what? From feeling happy, from feeling joyous, from feeling gratitude, and from feeling love. But I did that. You think the towel did that? You think that towel in the bathroom said, huh, I'm going to make him look at this way, and now all the joy and happiness will be drained from his life? You know, I do it to myself, you see. You have to realize that everything that happens to you for a reason. And it usually happens because of your thinking. Because of your thinking. And we're afraid to say that. Because we don't want to take the blame for that. And we don't want to think, oh, was I thinking the wrong thought that my car got smashed in? Forget all that kind of stuff. Once it happens, we have to learn how to get over it instead of letting it eat at us and staying with us for days, some things for years. Some people hold grudges and everything all their life. They go to their grave holding grudges. We don't do that in this teaching. You see, once we create something, once something happens, we have to be able to think ourselves out of that. We have to be able to use this wonderful gift called our mind and get right out of the situation. Now, what most people will do, especially with an accident like this, you go home and you have to tell everybody. Then you have to tell the neighbors and everything, and it just gets, you have to keep talking about and talking about and talking about and talking about. Doesn't change it, you know. Talk therapy never changed anything. Talk therapy never changed anything. But changing the way you look at something, changing the way you're thinking about something, changes things. Changes things. But you have to start with what? You have to start by forgiving yourself instantly. By forgiving yourself instantly. And not letting that mind say, this always happens to me. You see. This is my life. This is, everything's going bad for me right now. You see. You can't do that to yourself. Because you're going to draw more things to you. You're going to draw more things to you. And that's what we don't want to do. This mind, this thinking, acts as a magnet. And it draws to you what you're thinking about. Remember Henry David Thoreau said, a man is what he thinks about all day long. Or a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. So we're always going to be listening to this mind of ours. And we have to be able to correct that. That's what it means by, there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. You see, most people react to life. And you can have the reaction of being angry and mean and hateful with the car accident. Or you can learn to respond to life the way you want to respond to it. And learn to respond to a situation the way you want to respond to it. So that you do not have to get upset. Yes, it happened. Is anyone familiar with a lady by the name of Katie? Katie something, it'll come to me. She wrote a book called Loving What Is. And that's what the whole idea in life is. You have to love whatever's in front of you. So you have to love the accident. You have to love the door. You have to love yourself. And you have to love the perpetrator. You have to always love what's in front of you. You see. I don't like that cup sitting on that table. I think it looks horrible. But I'm going to love it anyway. I'm going to love it so that I don't have a reaction to it. You see, you have to learn to love what is. We get ourselves into trouble because we want what's in front of us to be different. You want the accident not to have happened. And you're sitting and your mind is saying, I wish this never happened. I didn't need this to happen. Isn't your mind saying that? Yes, you're saying. And your mind and me is going on. When you have anything like that happen, your mind and me say, ah, I wish this didn't happen. Then you go into that whole thing instead of loving what's in front of you. Loving. Well, it was a car accident. I have to learn to love that. Now, if you don't learn to love it and you keep going, then you just have one car accident after the other. Other things keep happening to you. That's the way the mind works. My mind works that way. I know my mind practically up one side and down the other. In fact, could drive you crazy if you let it, you see. But we're all the same. When people say, how do I know that? How do you know that, Della? Well, my mind works exactly like yours does, and I know perfectly well that if I had a car accident, the first thing would be, oh, I wish this would have never happened. I wish this would have never happened. Well, it did happen. So now you have to look at it. And you have to love that. It's the value we put on things. It's our perspective that causes things, you see. Remember, we never see with our eyes. We see with our mind. And what's going on inside of the mind. You see. Before I bought the Mini Cooper, I never saw another Mini Cooper. Now everywhere I go, there's Mini Coopers. They're passing me, they're in front of me, they're behind me, they're everywhere. I never saw them before because they weren't in my consciousness. soon as I bought one, now I see Mini Coopers everywhere. You see, it's not done with eyes. It's done with mind and consciousness. And you've all had those experiences, haven't you? If you decide to buy something, don't you see it everywhere? Mm-hmm. You see, because you put it into your mind. Then you start to see it. You can't see with your eyes. People think that our five senses are all the senses that we have. We have more senses than our five senses, and we have to start to use our other senses. Like intuition is one of them. Because the five senses that we use always lie to us. They don't tell us the truth. Look at your eyes. If you look down a railroad track, the tracks come together. Your eyes will tell you that they converge. They don't converge, but your eyes tell you that. The ship going, falling off the end of the earth. Your eyes tell you, oops, just went down. You see. So you cannot trust your senses. You have to trust your mind. And you have to use wisdom with these things. But we're in the habit, and we get in that habit, and we watch everybody else, how they respond to something, and we decide, oh, we must respond the same way. That's the way humans do it, you see. Stop thinking of yourself as human. Yes, you're human, but you're much more than humans, you see. You're part of the divine, and find that part of the divine, and you'll learn to see things differently. Otherwise, if you don't start to see and know that you're a mental, that it's a mental world, and that your thinking is causing everything in your life, you will repeat 2007 in 2008. And now it's time for us not to do that, isn't it? You see, if we come to a metaphysical teaching and we learn metaphysics and we realize that it's the mental world we live in, then we have to be able to use that to improve our lives so that our lives do not keep repeating themselves. And most people's lives repeat themselves. How many people know somebody who says, don't tell me, I have 40 years of experience? They don't have 40 years of experience. They have 1 year of experience repeated 39 times. That's what they have. And this is what we have to do. We have to become a witness to our thinking. Remember, Ernest Holmes, founder of religious science, or science of the mind, said you must learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. And learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. Because nothing on the outside of life is causing anything. It's how you're interpreting that, how you are perceiving that, that is causing your feelings. Actors can get very upset if they don't get the role that they auditioned for. And they go into a tailspin. And they say, oh, I'll never work again. Oh, I'm no good. Whatever they're doing, you see. That's a perspective. You can change your mind about that and say, there was nothing wrong with me. I did an absolute marvelous audition. It's too bad that the casting agent couldn't see that. But I will find a casting agent that does. But I know that I'm whole, complete, and perfect. And I know that I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. You have to know, after the accident, that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yeah. So life boils down to what you are thinking about yourself. And it boils down to being able to become a witness to your own thinking. What is your mind telling you? and then tell it what you want it to do for you. You see, if you don't train your mind is going to lead you in all the wrong directions. It doesn't have any power of its own. You're the one that's giving the power. You're the one that's giving it the direction. And if you don't direct it, it will take you where it wants to go. And that's not where we want to go. So in this new year, think of those things and say, I thought that thought for 30 years. It's never gotten me anywhere. I'm able to give that up. I'm able to give that up. So if you don't think that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, change your mind. And in 2008, make that your top priority to know that about yourself. Why does anyone want to live in this world, go through this experience, live 80, 90 years, and be unhappy? And be unhappy. That is not what this thing, the Creator, had in mind for you. Now remember, let's look at it this way. Last week, we talked about the apple not falling far from the tree. And I said, take that up in consciousness, to a higher consciousness, where God is the tree and you're the apple. And we don't fall far from God because we have that divinity in us. That is why we're able to say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. So here we have this God, this thing that we call pure love, and we say, aha, God created us, and part of God is in each and every one of us. Because if we can make this statement, and all religions make this statement, and then they completely forget it and never teach it again. And the statement that they make is, all is God. All is God. Everything is God. And then they say, watch out for the devil. You see, you can't do that. You can't say all is God and then have a devil. Now, if you say all is God, that means each and every one of us is some part of God, right? So God is pure love. And God's creating this thing. Now, why would God create unhappy people? You see, God doesn't create unhappy people. Why? Because God works in as and through you. God doesn't want to be unhappy. You see, God doesn't want to be unhappy. We're the ones who choose to be happy or not happy. Remember, Abraham Lincoln, most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. So in this new year, think of those things. See that divinity within yourself and realize, ha-ha, I can be happy. I can be filled with joy and bliss and love all the time because it's my decision. It's my decision. On the way over here, with your driving and so forth, you may have been tootling along and your mind was saying, oh, geez, isn't life wonderful? I really do feel good about myself. I feel I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. Oh, boy, isn't that wonderful? Then you pull up in front of the road, you open the door, smash! A car hits you. And you go, oh, I'm not worthy, I'm not deserving, I'm not lovable, I'm not, oh my goodness, the world's coming in and all this. You see, your mind did that. Your mind did that and took it away from you. It has nothing to do with the accident. Oh, I'm not saying the accident is fun. And I'm not saying that it's not an awful thing to happen to somebody. But you see, you can't let your mind do you in. You cannot let your mind do you in. If you knew you were worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you mattered before the accident, how could the accident have taken that away from you? Your mind took it away from you with your thinking. So you have to say, what? I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. The mind loves to trick you, loves to put you through this. You see. Don't let it do that to you. You're the one that's responsible for how you're feeling. And you do that with your thoughts. And you're able to change your thoughts. So if you have an accident, don't let your mind do you in and call you all kinds of things. Dumb, stupid, irresponsible. All that kind of stuff. Has nothing to do with that. Now, a lot of metaphysicians, when they're starting out, get so upset because now they start to feel guilty that they must have done something wrong, that they must have thought something wrong, and that's why they had the accident. You have to give that up. You have to give that up. This is not a teaching of blame, shame, guilt. It's not a teaching of suffering of any type. You see. So you learn to give those things up. That's how you learn to go through life differently. But we're so used to seeing people doing it the other way that we imitate them. We imitate them. And we certainly see it enough. If you watch daytime television, if you watch nighttime television, you certainly see how people react to things. And you think, oh, well, that's how humans react, so I'm going to react that way too. And what is portrayed on these televisions? Usually, resentment, jealousy, all the baser human qualities. And then we dwell in them. We say, see how humans are, they always do it, da 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 da. Yes, we have those qualities within us, but we don't have to use them. We don't have to use them. We can choose to use our better qualities. And that's how we change not only us, that's how we change the world. The world will never change. Peace will never come to this planet till each and every one of us is peaceful within ourselves. And you've heard me say this before because I see it on bumper stickers, usually on police cars. And it says, there is no necessity for domestic violence. As long as we have domestic violence, we are going to have conflicts in the outer world. We're going to have the wars and so forth. Because people think it's normal. And it is not normal. It is not normal. Has anyone ever heard the expression, when a blade of grass is cut, the whole universe shudders? Because you know we're delicately connected to everything. If there's only God, if you cut a piece of grass, that grass is God. And if you cut that, then the universe shudders. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up, because one of the things you know with the holiday season is it's the top holiday or season of year for people to get depressed, for people to be suicidal. All kinds of things come up at this time of year. But one of the things that I was thinking, I heard on the radio about Christmas trees. Now, if you think the whole universe shudders when a blade of grass is cut, how many Christmas trees do you think that we cut down in the United States for Christmas? 33 million. 33 million trees are cut. We're all connected. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have Christmas trees. I'm not saying we shouldn't cut those down. But when we do any of that stuff, we must do it with reverence. And we must realize what we're doing. We used to always pray before we ate. It was called giving grace. We learned that from peasants, from heathens, because they knew when they killed an animal, that animal was going to feed them. But that animal was supplied by their gods. So they blessed the animal. And they ate blessed food. Today we just gobble stuff down without ever thinking that it, what it is doing and how much it is doing for us. Do that for yourself. You will see all the difference in your nutritional values and things. Put the energy back into the food. Give thanks that you have that. It makes a lot of difference. But we're connected, and we must realize that we're connected to everything on this planet, and that we cannot go around just cutting things down. We don't do that. And that's a different way to go through life. But we have to use that idea that we are all God, and that God is all there is. And we fail to see that. With your accident, you fail to see that the person who hit you is God. Because you probably think that rotten son of a... You see? But you have to know it was God that hit you. What else could have hit him? Can anyone tell me what else could have hit him? Had to be God.
No.
See, this is the way you have to get your thinking going. When I'm driving the car, when I'm making this my 208 thing, I've been working on it all of 207, I'm getting better. I don't talk to cars anymore, but people in traffic, like, you rotten idiot. Why would you do that? Now, I just keep going and I say, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do. I do. Because you could go absolutely crazy out there with the wrong turns that they're making, and then you start to take it personally, and they don't know that they're doing that. They don't know that they cut you off. Maybe they're picking something up. Maybe they're not. So if you just look and just keep saying, forgive them, Father, for they know what they do, it makes your life better. It makes your life better. You see? We can never get back at anyone. If you yell at somebody, you idiot, they don't know that. But your mind just heard idiot. And nothing goes outside of your mind, so your mind says, oh yes, that's right, you're an idiot. You're the idiot. You see? It's the way it works. So we learn to do this stuff. So in this new year, make up your mind to realize that it's a mental world that you live in. And remember that every day. I have to remind myself of that. I have to remind myself of that. You know, we say, or I say, the world is very convincing. Well, your mind is very convincing. Especially that ego part of your mind is very convincing. It will send you into a tailspin. So you have to realize, I'm not going to let my mind convince me of this. This is not the world I want to live in. I want to live in a world filled with love and joy and gratitude and happiness. And we can do that. We have all the stuff inside of us to do that. And we have this marvelous tool called a mind. And we have another marvelous thing that we can use our mind for. And that's imagination. So you have to start using your imagination. And how do you use your imagination? What I said earlier, and I use this affirmation all the time, money is always freely circulating in my life and I always have a defined surplus. Now what we know about affirmations is that they must make sense. Your mind cannot refute it. If your mind refutes it, then you have to find a different affirmation. Or you have to be able to do it to your mind no longer negates it or refutes it in any way. It has to do something inside of you. So when I say, money is always freely circulating in my life and I always have a defined surplus, then I have to start using my imagination and I have to start seeing that happening. I have to start seeing that happening. So I go to the mailbox and I look for checks and not bills. You see. And I look for things, you know. By the way, on Saturday, I used that wonderful ticket. You remember my friend gave me the ticket to the opera? $220 ticket. Used it on Saturday. Money is always freely circulating in my life. And I always have a divine surplus. Now, I just told you something very important. And I'll see now if your mind picked up on that. Money is always freely circulating in my life. And I always have a divine surplus. You didn't hear me say my money is always freely circulating in my life. I said money. Maryland, $220, circulated right into my life and gave me a second row seat at the opera. You see? Money. Everyone thinks it has to be your money. You see? You don't care. I don't care if it's my money, your money, Marilyn's money. I just want money to keep circulating in my life. You see the difference? You see the difference? So when you do that affirmation, realize money doesn't have to be. You don't know where that money's coming from. I always envision all channels in the universe open to me, giving me streams of income. Giving me streams of income. And then it starts to happen. But I use my imagination to cause that to happen. You have to see it. My other one that I tell you all the time is all my bills are paid on or before time. All my bills are paid on or before time. So as soon as a bill comes in, I sit down and pay it. This month is the month of December. This is a slow month for me. So when I got a bill for lights on Saturday, $85 and some odd cents. And I thought, how could that be so high? Left over from the summer, I was running the air conditioner. So you don't realize, that's nothing. So then I go, I don't have to pay that. And Dallas, you know, the money isn't coming in right now. Whatever my mind's doing. I went right to the desk, sat right down, and wrote that check out, and then I always get right up and take it to the post box, which is outside my door. I put it right in there. Sometimes I kiss it. Put it there and say, thank you very much. You see, I did not let my mind say, Dallas, it's slow during the month of December. You don't have the money to pay that. Hold off on paying that. Do this and that and the other thing. Why didn't I do that? Because I could not make an affirmation all my bills are paid on or before time and then negate it myself. You see? You have to use your imagination. You have to know that your word means something. You know, we say, oh, that person's word is no good. But your word has to be good unto you. You see? Your word has to be good unto you. So if you make an affirmation, then you have to do something about it. It's always going to be tweaked and move your feet. You're going to have an action. You see, this thing that we call the law of cause and effect or the secret, whatever you want to call it, there's an immutable law that runs throughout the universe. But one of the things that people forget about that law is you must take an action with it. You see, and people will say to me, oh, yes, Dallas. But God feeds the birds. So I can just sit here and go, and money's going to fall out of the sky. Well, I told him, you can sit there till the cows come home, and money's not going to fall out of the sky. You see, you must get up and do something. Yes, God feeds the birds. He doesn't drop the worm in their mouth. The bird must go out and find that worm. It is there. Your abundance, your prosperity, your money is there. But you have to do an action for it. Rule in the universe is nothing for nothing. If you give nothing, you get nothing. If you give something, you get something. It's always going to be an action step. If I want to move from here over to that corner, I can sit here and think all day long, I want to move to that corner. I want to be over there in that corner. That's where I want to be, over in that corner. I have to get up and walk over to that corner. Then I'm there. You see? You have to have an action step. You have to have an action step. So when you're doing your affirmations, see what your mind says about that. You see? And then change it till your mind can accept it. If your mind thinks it's unreasonable, you will never get it. You see, that's why most people say, well, I want $1 million. I'm treating for $1 million. Well, their mind is immediately saying to them, you nitwit, you're never going to get it because it's not reasonable. It's just not reasonable. Maybe, though, your mind could accept 100,000, you see. Then once you get the 100,000, you get 200,000. Your mind has to stretch a little at a time. But once the mind is stretched, it never goes back. It never goes back. Do you remember in the courts with lawyers and so forth, if you're in the court, one of the things is, once the bell is rung, it cannot be unrung. You see? What does that mean? That means once you have knowledge, once you gain knowledge of something, you can never take that back. You can't say, oops, forget I told you that. You see? Because your mind immediately gets stretched. It will not go back to its original. It will not go back to its original. Now, if you think that you can't do this, give that idea up, because even Rhoda saw a program on television last night, was it?
Saturday
night, about the mind. And where at any age, you can change, because your mind has what's called plasticity. It's plastic, it moves, it does things, it opens up new areas and so forth. But we have been taught, oh, that's just the way I am. If you use that expression, please get rid of it. So many people think that is so important to say, well, that's just the way I am. And they're so proud of it. Well, you're an idiot, you know. That's just the way you are, you see. Now, ignorance can be fixed. Stupidity is forever. So remember that. You can fix your thinking. You can change your life. You absolutely can change your life. What is keeping us from changing our lives? It's our thinking that we can't. It's not realizing that we are divine, that we can create, that we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. So learn to matter to your own self. Learn to matter to your own self. And take responsibility for your life. You will find it fun. You will find it fun. You will find it exciting to be able to do that. So with the new year coming up, learn to change. Learn to change it. People have been going to metaphysics for years, 20 years. You can be in metaphysics. And they'll tell you, I've been in metaphysics for 20 years. But has metaphysics been in you? You see, this is more than just an idea. It's more than just a philosophy. It's a very practical way to go through life. And it's a wonderful way to go through life. But you have to apply this. And not just say, oh, that sounds good, or oh, that makes me feel good. Now's the time. Now's the time for you to put everything that you know into practice and get over this accident. And your mind's probably saying, oh, easy for him to say, it didn't happen to him. Did your mind just say that?
Yeah.
But that's what our minds say. How many times? Yes, you were thinking it. See, I know. Oh, easy for him to talk. Didn't happen to him. You see. But when something happens to you, it happens to all of us. You see, we're not separated. That's the other illusion. And that's the other lie that your eyes tell you. Because we look like we're separated from each other. But we're all connected. We all live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. There is only one mind, and that is the mind of God. This teaching teaches unity, not separation. If you want separation, go to the Catholic Church, or go to any of the Protestant churches, or go to a Jewish church, or a Jewish synagogue, because they'll teach separation. They'll teach good and bad. I don't teach good and bad. I only teach good. Why do I only teach good? Because there's only God, and God is good. If you see bad, it's because of your perception. It's because of your mind. You see, why doesn't God forgive and so forth? Because God doesn't see the ugliness. You see, if God saw all the ugliness, don't you think God would pack up and leave? Wouldn't you? You see? That's the other thing, you know. People are waiting for Jesus to come back or God to come back to this plane of action. Well, don't you think they're more intelligent than that? Why would they want to come down into this mess that we've created? You see? They're more intelligent than that. So we have to be intelligent. We have to use our intelligence and have to realize, oh, that doesn't work. You see? So many people's lives out there are not working. They're miserable. They're on all kinds of medications. They've numbed themselves out from this world because they hate life. And you should be loving life. Because the life that you have is the life of God, individualized through you. Individualized through you. You've heard me say this. The highest form of worship you can give God is to love yourself. And yet we are afraid to love ourselves. We must learn to love ourselves and give ourselves permission to have what we want. To give ourselves permission to have what we want. And we can all do that. We can all do that. And these little things, like the smashing in of your car door, is what I refer to as the nits and fleas of life. And we can get rid of the nits and fleas in life. And most people don't get rid of the nits and fleas in life. You know. So we can do that. So it boils down to remembering what Emmett Fox, you still don't have a mental equivalent. Do I have those CDs at home? Did you give me a whole bunch of CDs, Linda?
It's online, the wonderful me.com.
Oh, it's online. Yeah. Please, anyone that's not familiar with the mental equivalent, go online and listen to the mental equivalent. Learn that mental equivalent. Up one side and down the other. I've been reading it for 30 years. I have given hundreds and hundreds of those booklets away. I've underlined them, so as soon as I finish reading one, I start again and I underline something new. And then when everything in that little book is underlined, I give that book away and I buy a new one and I start over again. Because I've been reading it for 30 years, and every time I read it, I say, now when did they put that in there? Now when did they put that in there? It's a most amazing book. A most amazing book. Everything you need to know about metaphysics is in that little book. You do not have to read every book in the Library of Congress to gain knowledge about metaphysics. If you read, I think that book is only 30 pages. That's why I can read it so many times. It's only 30 pages. It's a pamphlet. I call it a book. It's a little pamphlet.
What's it called again?
Mental Equivalent by Emmett Fox. The Bodhi tree usually carries it. But it's online, as Andy said, at wonderfulme.com. And Andy and Audra do the reading, and it's very good. Very good. So anyway, what do we learn from that little booklet, The Mental Covenant? One, that we live in a mental world. Right away, you have to know that you live in a mental world. Then he goes on to explain the immutable law of cause and effect, and how it's done with your thinking, and how it's done with focus and attention. If you do not focus on what you want and keep your attention there, the universe cannot fill that intention for you. It cannot manifest it for you because you're changing your mind constantly. So what you get is a blurred mess. But if you continually think of what you want in life, you will get it. You will get it. And you hear that constantly from successful people. I always thought I would have this. I always thought I would become this. And that's what you have to do. What are you thinking about right here and right now? Are you thinking, in 2008, my life will change because I am the one that will change it? And then you go about changing it. People are waiting for God to change their life. God is not going to change your life. God gave you life. God loves you. God gave you everything that you need to succeed and to thrive on this plane of action. You have to know that. And you have to do that for yourself. And know that this thing called God, once you change your mind and decide to change, the universe and God is rooting for you, applauding you, and helping you. But not till you get the idea, not till you keep it in focus, and your life will change. And the other thing is, in all this teaching, the idea is to never, never, never give up, and to keep on trekking. At any time you fall down, you must pick yourself up and start all over again. And we're going to all fall, but we're going to get up faster. That is it. But most people, when they fall, they stay down. And you have to realize that you can spring right back up again. You can just spring right back. And how many people here have sprung back up again? Well, you know, I'm a regular jumping jack at it. I can spring up. I just keep springing up because I don't put that much emphasis on something. You see, if something fails, I know perfectly well that that was an event that failed. It had nothing to do with me whatsoever because, you know, I'm not a failure. Humans can never fail. Events can fail. But humans can never fail. You see? Never quit. Never quit. When I went to the Atlanta Lung Association, they had a little slogan. Quitters never win. And winners never quit. And that's what you have. Don't quit. Don't give up on yourselves. Do not give up on yourselves. Hold yourself in the highest of esteem. This thing called God holds you there, so why aren't you holding yourself there? And regardless of what happens to you, you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter. Know always that you're whole, complete, and perfect. What's my best one I love? The dish is never dirty. The dish is never dirty. There may be dirt on the dish, but the dish isn't dirty. So you're never dirty. Anything that's going on in your life, you see, it's just the barnacle that placed itself there. Knock the barnacle off. But most people just let the barnacles keep building up and building up. Don't do that to yourselves. Don't do that to yourself. Make this new year a wonderful year. I have some affirmations understand they are. I surrender myself. I surround myself with things that reflect my aliveness and energy. Have aliveness and energy around you. Everything I give to others is a gift to myself. As I give, I receive. And don't you love that? Everything I give to others is a gift to myself. I love to give things, but I love to get things also. You know, and they're just, the sensation is just about equal. It's just about equal. You can't tell the difference between that when you're giving and when you're receiving. It's wonderful because you have that feeling there. You know, I am open to receive. How many people here, you have to be open to receiving. And if you can't do that, use your imagination. Just sit and say, I'm open. And then see yourself open. I see a little thing here on the top of my head opening up to receive things. And then you start to receive things. I appreciate myself and give thanks for my wonderful life. Be thankful for your life. And know that it's a wonderful life. What's it? That should be a title of a movie or something. I appreciate myself and give thanks for my wonderful life. I think that's wonderful. So the whole thing in 1908, which is what? Less than 2 weeks away. We're just 2 weeks away. Is this.
You mean 2008?
2008. What did I say?
1908.
Oh, 1908. Well, see. What's time? So here's what to do in 2008. I'm bad with that. All right, in 2008, the time will come when we will let our conversation be in heaven. So in 2008, let your conversation be in heaven. Talk about the highest things in life. Talk about the good things in life, the wonderful things in life. And it will change. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.